I love you.
We love you, Father.
And I'm here because of the saints' prayers and God's sovereign care. And during this last period of time, which was actually a very precious time, to cast everything aside except the triune God himself. And while I'm under my hour-by-hour care for my beloved counterpart, I could just simply be more than ever before what is part of the subject of this message, an open vessel. This was not something new to me because of the Lord's grace and discipline, but it was developed more and more, and now there is a burden, a loving concern for every saint in the Lord's recovery, and actually for every fellow believer wherever they are throughout the earth. They're our brothers and sisters, and we love them all. So message 6, to state the obvious, is built upon the first 5 messages. And all those 5 messages lay the foundation for message 6. The subject is being a vessel open to the Lord and living ordinary days in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. Before I come to the outline itself, and I will be focused on the crucial points in the outline, I have the need to share with you 3 aspects concerning the divine dispensing. And the reason I'm doing this is because we've all been enlightened, supplied, encouraged, and motivated. But, to be honest with you all, very few may have a full understanding of what experiencing the divine dispensing includes. So there are 3 things, somewhat briefly, I will present to you. The first is this. We saw in message 1, the eternal blessing of the triune God. Please realize that this divine dispensing is not limited to our time on the earth, that we are transformed and built up, and that takes care of it. There's the principle of the tree of life here, which is dependence. And the more we grow in life, the more we are built up, the more we will realize we are totally dependent on the triune God and on the organic body of Christ. And the overcomers who are in the kingdom as co-kings, they will be experiencing more divine dispensing than in the new heaven and the new earth, when all the believers have been perfected and the Lord has his wife forever. There will be unending divine dispensing, because forever we will be dependent on our beloved Lord Jesus. So you are involved now with something eternal, might get used to it, because it's never going to end. And it will always be new and fresh and vital. What a future we have. But what a present we have that we need to consider. So here's the second point. And this may sound a little strange, but I think I can make it clear. Dispensing, the divine dispensing, in our experience, has two basic aspects. And I have to use some words that may not be altogether adequate. I would say two ways. One is, it's an outward, inward dispensing, and an inward dispensing, or an objective to subjective dispensing, and then subject to subject dispensing. Just consider the breakfast you ate today, not so much the content, but obviously the food did not stay in your mouth, and it's now in your stomach. And does it stay there the rest of your life? No. You don't live by the food in your stomach. The food has to be digested, assimilated, and then applied to every cell and fiber of your body. So objectively, you got the food on the plate. Now you take it in. That's dispensing, is in you. And to be honest, even be honest with yourself, maybe your consideration of dispensing is just this. The Lord is here. I open. I receive Him. But now let's consider the experiential side. The process and consummated triune God is endeavoring to dispense Himself into us non-stop, little by little, every day. And we receive Him into our spirit. And our spirit, and this is an accurate word from the ministry, our spirit is our spiritual stomach. So here, what the dispensing reaches our spirit, and here it's digested. And then, from this point, it needs to flow into all the other parts of our being. And I'll tell you something, a sad fact of an older brother's experience. I don't know if he's still with us. If he is somewhere, he would be 85. He was just devouring life study messages and made this a requirement on his wife. If you don't read two messages a day, I won't have anything to do with you. So he took it all in, but he didn't digest even one. Why? Because what was in the spirit did not have the way to reach all the inward parts of that dear brother. And so I don't want you, I have this responsibility before the Lord, to leave this conference with a simplicity or a simple understanding. I just contact the Lord, I receive dispensing, I receive dispensing. Yes, you have. But then what? And this is why it's important, we will see, you need to open your entire being to the divine dispensed into your spirit. So what has been imparted to your spirit is now has access to every part of your being, eventually reaching, and this we will cover a little later, the depths of your being. Only brothers and sisters who have this kind of experience daily will be mature and will not be rapture ready if the Lord would come during their lifetime. And the Lord knows, because He put this in my heart for you. Every one of you, I hardly know of just a fraction of you. When I said, I love you, that's true. Because I love you, I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to reach maturity. I want you to know and live in the consciousness of the body of Christ. And so, to realize the extent to which the triune God who has been dispensed into our spirit now has access to every part of your mind, every memory, every thought, every concept, any opinion, to all of your emotion, to your will, everything. And then He has a way to do something marvelous and wonderful. And then the third point is this, and it leads us into the outline. What is God's goal, especially in this present age, concerning His dispensing of Himself into us? And that is, His goal is to bring the believers to maturity. And a few thousand saints in South Korea know about this, and saints from 29 countries in Europe know about this, but now it's time to present this to the whole recovery. The difference between transformation and maturity. Even you parents, you've got a little boy or girl, 11, then they go through the teenage years, or 17. Isn't that a kind of transformation? Surely, what a marvelous change in their body, in their persons. But they're not mature. They have to go on further. So transformation involves the divine life penetrating and saturating our soul so that the indwelling Christ can be expressed wonderfully through our soul as the channel. And so the mind is renewed, and the emotions and the will, they're all now saturated with the indwelling Christ. And this is typified by Jacob in Genesis, all he went through for transformation. And he reached the peak of transformation when he was on a journey, and the love of his life, Rachel, was giving birth to another child. And she knew she would die. And he was there. And when the little baby boy was born, she gave him a name, referring to suffering. And Jacob changed his name to Benjamin, such a positive name. And then right before his eyes, she passed away. And then he buried her. He set up a pillar. And he continued his journey as he had to, because God realized, Jacob, now known as Israel, you have been transformed, but you're not mature. So what is maturity? I say again, transformation is the divine life renewing you, saturating you. Maturity is the divine life filling your entire being. That's maturity. And so we won't go into the details now. I need to care for time. But the Lord knew there was another stage. And it involved his son Joseph. And eventually, Jacob reached maturity as indicated how he lived and how he responded to things at the end and how he spoke and prophesied. And then his son, they both typify Christ, became a ruler in Egypt. This indicates, dear saints, that maturity is required for any brother or sister who will be a co-king with the reigning Christ in the coming kingdom. And this is the unending burden and loving concern for all the saints, that you don't stop. You don't let anything stop in your pursuit of the Lord. You're not content. Those that are, maybe their fellow octogenarians, like me, you may think, well, I've been here 55 years. Yes, you've been here 55 years. You're an older person. Don't think this equals spiritual maturity. And so in order for us to fully experience the aspects of dispensing and to cooperate with the Lord's burden to produce mature believers, what we need is to be an open vessel. And this open vessel will, in an ordinary daily life, often quite uninteresting, same thing again and again, is experiencing dispensing little by little in a calm and quiet way. That is why this is a kind of sidebar comment. And I'm not criticizing the speaking after the other messages, no. But I would ask you, we don't need you to come and shout and say something loud. But this message will need confirmation from saints of any place in any all ages to come calmly and quietly and speak for a minute. I give myself afresh to be an open vessel to the dispensing triune God for the fulfillment of the desire of his heart. And I just ask him to help me to open my vessel, my being, from the depths of my being to you. And then this will take place in a kind of calm and quiet way, nothing spectacular. But because it involves something of the triune God making us the same as he is, that's miraculous. But this miraculous thing is taking place in a kind of ordinary situation. Now, the message will not end with the end of the outline. And I won't go over time. You'll have more than 30 minutes to respond. I just want to point out, to get your attention, what will be covered in the first part is intrinsically related to our readiness for the Lord to come. And I will show you from the Lord's own teaching, direct teaching, what kind of brothers and sisters alive until He comes. There will be in two categories. One is living day by day, hours by hours, just doing the necessary things. Then when they can stop, they contact the Lord and have some time. But the others truly are living in two realms. A ministry meeting message was released on that recently. While they're doing so many practical, ordinary things outwardly, inwardly, they're receiving dispensing moment by moment. And soon as the Lord indicates, now they're gone and the others are left. And so, with a smile, I want all of us to be gone and none of us to be left. So this is what I'm heading for. Okay, Roman number one. The first step of God's procedure in fulfilling His purpose was to create man as a vessel to contain him as life. Genesis 2:7. I don't know Hebrew, but I think it's, but I remember the Lord formed him from the dust of the ground. And that verb for form is related to a potter shaping, you know, something. So a human being is a vessel, whether they know it or not, or like it or not. And we are created to contain God. So the enemy attacked this vessel. And there are now 8 billion people plus on the earth. How many human vessels are there with the triune God as their content? And here, I just would like to speak personally and directly to the dear ones here and throughout their recovery who are 21 years and younger. I want to ask you, because of loving concern for you, what is the content of you as a vessel? What is filling you up? What are you taking in when you spend so many hours online? Do you have any realization the God of this age wants to saturate your mind with His demonic thoughts and intentions? And in California, I'm living there again for the third time because Living Stream Ministry is there. To me, it's the most degraded and corrupted state in the country. In school, teaching children about their gender. This is satanic. And before the meeting, I think this was just the beginning kind of prayer. There was just a burden released from co-workers praying for the young generation. You are the future. You may be the anchor man in the race. What is on our heart is, what will you open to? You may be 12 years old. You are not too young to present yourself as a vessel to the Lord. But now, as we're here, only God knows how many people in Washington, D.C. are waking up from their Saturday night situation, because Human beings can't bear to be empty. And so they have to be filled. But it's very rare for any unbeliever to just be alone quietly for 10 minutes with not seeing anything, reading anything, just being quiet. Because deep within, their spirit will indicate you're an empty vessel. And it's not too soon, you younger ones, 21 and under. If the Lord would lead you to come to the microphone, not to say things that are really beyond your present understanding, but you're not too young, because the Lord is speaking to you. And believe me, He is. He is. There's a one-on-one speaking here from Him to each one of you. And you're not too young to be enlightened and to make a decision and to come to that microphone and say, I am a vessel to contain the triune God. And I consecrate this vessel to Him. And I pray that He will protect me and keep me from anything else trying to penetrate my being. I love the Lord and I am open to Him. And I'm shutting the door in the face of the enemy. Now we go on through this section. God shows us so that we may be vessels of honor filled with the triune God. God created man as a vessel to contain Him, and out of the many vessels He chose us to contain Him. The God of honor, that we might be vessels of honor. Honorable vessels are constituted of both the divine nature, gold, and the redeemed and regenerated human natures, silver. All of us were created as vessels, but we're all now redeemed vessels. That's what we declared whenever we have the Lord's table meeting. We proclaim to the whole universe the effect of Christ's death and resurrection. We are here as the corporate expression of what our redeeming Christ has done. And we are here with Him as more content than 1 week ago. 3. God makes known His glory upon us, the vessels, that we may become vessels of glory. That means God is expressed through you. No matter what your age is, no matter what your circumstances are, God is just shining out of you. You're a vessel of glory. We were created for this. You're being transformed into His same image from glory to glory. And you're not aware of it. You shouldn't be aware of it. You're aware of the dispensing God in you. But others are aware. What is this? It's an ordinary person. But that is the expression of the glory of God. And by the way, if there's anyone in particular brand new, and even if you would, if you have the leading that you want to linger around, you want to stay around, maybe you want to take this way, I just have to honestly tell you something. As someone told me after my first meeting at the church in Los Angeles, he was a former preacher, and I was, in a sense. He said, when you come here, you lose all your glory and all those who glorify in you. This recovery is not for the exaltation of any person. We are here for the glory of the triune God. the more we experience the divine dispensing, the more glory there will be. And the Lord's prayer concerning oneness in the divine glory will be fulfilled. And we'll have the deepest oneness. A little A. All this is out of His mercy. And according to His mercy, it cannot be obtained by our efforts. For this reason, we must worship Him and thank Him for His mercy. Now we come to an important section of the outline. Just let me clear my throat. It's just a kind of lingering effect from the whole thing. So this process. The summary of Paul's 14 epistles can be expressed in two words. Open vessel. And I might as well let you know where I learned these words, open vessel. It's in that big book, Perfecting Training, chapter 23. And so I gladly point you to the source. Okay. The New Testament shows us that God wants believers as vessels, loving Him and keeping themselves open to Him. Keeping themselves open to Him. Only you can open yourself. Right? No one's breathing for you right now, right? No one can eat breakfast for you? No? No one other than you can say to your wife, I love you. No. And only you can determine the degree to which you will be an open vessel. And so point A, there's a word here of significance. It is in the depths of our being. If in the depths of our being, we are not open to the Lord, He cannot dispense Himself into us and make His home in our heart. And so there is a prayer. There's one in the outline, but here's another prayer that the Lord would be delightful to hear. Lord, help me to open myself to You. To open my entire being, the depths of my being, to You. This is not a training. If the training I could be more direct, but there's no need now. I would just ask sincerely, do you know the depths of your own being? The American culture is extremely shallow. And it can produce shallow people, even shallow Christians. We know from Ephesians 4, it's breadth, length, breadth, height, and depth, but eventually the Lord needs access to the depths of your being. And to be faithful to Him and to you, it's not just something you're contacting Him and then He does this. The sovereign God will put you into certain situations which will break you open. And when that happens, you will be deeply thankful that the Lord did not leave you untouched because you had told Him, Lord, do whatever You want to do with me as a vessel. Give me any experiences You want me to have for this vessel and thereby for Your recovery. I can testify to you, there's nothing to fear. This is God who has loved, the process and consummated triune God of love, wanting to touch every part of your being and empty out the Antichrist elements that are there and replace them with Himself to make you the same as He is? Listen to this. Right? The high peak of the divine revelation, right? God became man to make man God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Okay, listen to this. God is love. God is going to make you love.
Amen.
That's an application of the high peak. It is. In other words, that will be a constituent of your being. And it will be a pure love for the Lord, for all the believers, wherever they are, and of all human beings, without any bias, no prejudice. Genuine love for everyone, any nation, any culture, any language, any color. This is the real sign of we're approaching maturity. And the Lord is going to work in us, but we determine how much we open. And you'll find out it's not easy. The Lord knows it's not easy, but we have to begin somewhere by sincere prayer. Lord, I'm opening myself to You. Lord, help me to open to You. And then He will take it from there. And then as the time goes by, He will go deeper and deeper and deeper in you until He reaches the depth. And now whatever is there, I know what I'm talking about. He will deal with what is there that's replacing Him. Then He will make that His dwelling place at the depths of your being. And you will just be an ordinary human being of whatever age. But you will be a God-man human being, another species. And you're not aware of it. He's just flowing out of you from the depths of your being because you're an open vessel receiving divine dispensing non-stop, little by little, day by day. Little B, an open vessel, is doing nothing but keeping itself open to be filled by the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. So it's not a work. You're just open. You're not doing anything. But notice this one word, filled. Filled. This is what is leading to maturity. You're an open vessel. Now the Lord is able to fill you. That, you know, here is a kind of vessel. Water can't go all the way up to the top because it could easily spill out. Well, what kind of vessel would this be if they put in a few drops of water, say, Ron, this should be refreshing. What kind of vessel is that? We want our whole vessel to be filled with the process and consummated dispensing triune God into us, woven into us. Then the Lord will have on the earth the body built up, the new man manifested, the bride ready, and what He needs also, the warrior wife. He will have this here and now. Two, a genuine Christian life is one that loves the Lord and keeps itself open to the Lord and stops its doing. Love and open. Just remember those two little words. Love the Lord and be open to Him. So we simply, we need to keep ourselves open to Him. We simply need to love the Lord and keep ourselves open to Him, giving Him every opportunity to do everything He wants to do. Now just be honest with the Lord. I remember sharing or having some fellowship with the group of trainees in the full-time training over a meal. And I just asked them, can you fully open yourself to the Lord? And one sister was honest. She said, no, I'm kind of afraid of that. And I said, it's okay. You don't start like this. You start like this. Then the Lord comes in and you say, hi, I like this. And then eventually you'll reach the point where you hold nothing back from Him. And now He has access to your whole being, and He knows how and when. But He will fill you with Himself. There's a brother that I served with in various ways, especially with affirmation and critique. He became seriously ill. He couldn't stand. He couldn't walk. He was just lying on the bed. I had some contact with him. Somehow he was still able to write articles. How he could do it, amazing. But the one time I could call him on the phone, and he just told me, I'm just lying here. And what I'm doing is I'm just calling inwardly, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And he finished his course in victory, filled with God. And so our sovereign God, we know this from Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. I won't hold it back from you. There'll be things. And the dear saints in this meeting, just this year, how many heart-rending things have we experienced? How many difficulties? The sovereign God allows this to go along with His inner working, to just dispense Himself into us. And eventually you look back with no regret. I can look back at decades and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for making that arrangement. I realize, Lord, I'm a tough case. This is not pseudo-humility. This is a fact. And you said, okay, I can handle tough cases. And so it's just wonderful. On our part, we're just fully open. So this is the proper and genuine Christian life. 3, we should pray, Lord, by your grace, I would not have any part of my being closed to you. I choose to keep myself entirely and thoroughly open to you. Okay? This is by His grace. But you make the decision, then the Lord is free to move. You have made the decision. I'm an open vessel to you and only to you. And I don't hold back any part of me. But I don't know what to do, then He would indicate you don't have to do anything. But are you willing for me to do in you and for you and with you what is in my heart concerning you? We need to have fully trust in what is in God's heart for each one of us. You see, only you have a measure of Christ that no one else has. You're a member of the body that has a portion that no other member has. That's why you're here. And that's why the Lord is going to continue to bless you and to shepherd you and bring you along. Because the body needs you as a member. I often refer to this. I'm standing here in my flat feet. Maybe I should be in the book of Guinness World Records for the fattest feet of an octogenarian anyway. But still, my body needs them. I could never run fast, but I could stand here. What I'm trying to say is, every member of the body is precious to God. And so without you, there's something lacking in the body. So eventually, what's going to be uplifted in your contact with the Lord about praying about all of these things? You will sincerely pray, and you should pray personally. Lord, just fill me with yourself. But then eventually and spontaneously, you will say, Lord, do this in me for the body. Do it for the body. And then this will increase his operation in you. Little A, this proper prayer, deeper prayer, genuine prayer, is to love the Lord and to be open to him. Love the Lord and be open to him. If we have this kind of prayer, we will be living open vessels, and the Lord will have the way to fill us with himself. When the Lord fills us, he does everything for us. Now, before we come to the next section, I want to point out to you a particular kind of dispensing. And that is based upon this verse from John chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus said, the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. The water that I will give him will become in him a fountain. Now, this weekend, haven't you been drinking the water of life? And so, the Lord has given you the water of life. Now he wants you to know that this water of life is in your spirit, and in your spirit is the fountain of water. And the Lord wants to dispense himself into your mind, emotion, and will from your spirit where the fountain of water is. And the sign that this is happening is the water springs up. I believe many of you, a large number of you, you've experienced this. Something is just, what does this happen? It's just rising up in me. It's just springing up. That's the fountain. And then it's two for life. But that fountain may be kind of closed off because we're not fully open in the other parts of our being. But when our being is open, then the fountain of water is able to spring up and refresh you and supply you to quench the thirst in you. Thirst is an unfulfilled desire, a longing. And so you're a sister, 33. Of course you want to be married. And we would pray as the Lord leads concerning you. That is a human desire. So that's a kind of thirst. Well, he may not come flying in, you know, in the near future. Who knows? But the Lord knows you are thirsty on this. And so he wants to quench your thirst with the water of life from the fountain that is in you. Okay, now we go on to the next section. And 2 and 3 are really go together. As believers in Christ, we need to learn to be satisfied with a life of ordinary days. And they'll be starting tomorrow. Ordinary days. In the regular and normal experiences, in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. So please don't expect just amazing things to happen. Just as I read through this section, just see the crucial point here. It's little by little, day by day, quiet and calm inwardly. When we are living and walking in the Spirit, we are calm, quiet, and peaceful. When we are in that inward condition, then the sense of our spirit is very keen. So we can sense. A dispensing is going on. The Lord is working Himself into me. He's doing it quietly, little by little. But your inner being is now calm and quiet. So you just have the sense in your spirit. The Spirit knows. Thank you, Lord. I open more. Work yourself into me. Little by little. Because this is a matter of little by little, day by day. We do not want to waste a day. I would just a brief word to those who consider themselves elderly. I asked one brother who was specialized in medicine as older people, you know, when do I, should I be considered, you know, an elderly person? And so he said 75. Well, I said bye-bye to 75 quite a long time ago. But I'd like something encouraging to tell you. It's not too late. It's not too late. No matter what your history has been, even if you're just coming back to the recovery after 30 years, with God, it's not too late. Just open to Him and let Him dispense. You just consider what would happen all over the earth in the recovery. So this is the 27th, right? 27th? And so we have 34 more days this year. What would happen if all of us, every day of these 34 days, were fully open as vessels to receive the divine dispensing? And during our ordinary activity day by day, we sense this is taking place. And then we came together again, like will happen at the December training. There will be so much more life flowing.
Amen.
So we have time, older saints, but we don't have time to waste. May every day of the rest of your journey on the earth be a day of divine dispensing. Little by little. One, very few spiritual things are accomplished in us once for all. Rather, as with our physical life, most spiritual things must be repeated again and again. Whatever God gives to us is not given all at once, so that it becomes unbearable. Instead, the divine supply is given bit by bit. You don't eat a meal for the whole month or the whole week. Even for the whole day may be hard. This is God's way, because it's little by little, day by day. Then we want to be little by little, day by day people, giving Him the openness to do this. B, the process and consummated triune God is within us, not in a spectacular way, but in an ordinary way. For this reason, we need to live a steady and normal Christian life. The less special and the more normal we are, the better. And so, you're going to have ordinary days this week. At home with the family, ordinary days. Before too long, doing your income tax, ordinary days. Whatever it is, no matter where you are, it's just, what a blessing if wherever you are, you can just be open to that moment's dispensing. You could be being rolled along into the surgery room. You're lying there, you see all the people, but you realize, this is where the Lord arranged for me to be. I just received the divine dispensing here. This is real, dear ones. Little by little, day by day. All the things of life that the triune God gives to us through the divine dispensing are quiet and calm. And our life as believers should also be quiet and calm. Day by day, we need to live in this way, simply living an ordinary life of receiving the divine dispensing. And so, let's say you're coming to this, you're going west on La Palma, you want to turn left on Magnolia, this is in Anaheim, California, and then there's the turning lane, the left lane, and when the green arrow comes on, then the cars in that lane move. And so suppose you are car number 9, and you're familiar with the length of this green arrow, and your thought is, if these drivers in front have proper reflexes, I'll be able to make it through. And then you see the green arrow, and they're not moving. And so, car 8 just made it through. It was yellow arrow turning red. And so when you got there, it's red. Don't lie to yourself saying, it's yellow, it's red. And so now you're going to be here for 2.5 minutes. Now, I have spent those 2.5 minutes just being unhappy that these slow drivers stole my time. But now I'm learning. Ah, 2.5 minutes of dispensing. Right here and right there. D, our destiny is to live an ordinary life in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. For our Father has destined that we live an ordinary way under His continual dispensing. This is what we're praying for. Lord, we're going back to where we came from, to our family, to all our responsibilities, to the ordinary things. Lord, we pray that You would just continue the dispensing in an ordinary way. Lord, train me. The Lord Jesus was a carpenter for 30 years. You think He wasn't under dispensing, doing all of that? He had 4 brothers plus sisters. We don't know how many. He was the oldest among them in a very poor city. You think He had His own private bedroom? You know, No way. This was his human living. But we know when he was 12, there was this turning point. I have to be caring for the things of my father. But then he realized, I'm not old enough. I need to go back home, obey my parents. All this is hidden. Then when his mystery began, it was based upon this kind of ordinary, daily living under the divine dispensing. And now this Christ is in you, wanting to live again an ordinary life in divine dispensing. And just referring briefly to Song of Songs, that the lover, the beloved one, he didn't just see, oh dear, you're a horse. Then he didn't say anything else. You know, 40 years went by. No, now you're a lily. Now you're in the cleft of the rock. The Lord will have ways to indicate to you that you're growing. He knows you need this. He will encourage you because you're living in the divine romance from the perspective of the divine dispensing. So you are in love with Him afresh. The dispensing is just so supplying. And then as the relationship develops, He just indicates to you, I'm making a turn. I want you to be here in the heavens. Be with me in ascension. Look down upon the enemy in the air. I need a wife who's a warrior. It's going to happen to all of you. The question is, when? Why not, as the brother said last night, right now?
Amen.
We just continue in this way. Okay, E. As believers, we experience the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity by faith. God wants us to do everything by depending on Him, by taking Him as life, and by allowing Him to dispense Himself into us. In this way, we will become normal spiritually, and our spirituality will be regular and normal without anything spectacular. And so I can tell you, from those many weeks after the surgery on July 12th, nothing spectacular happened. But, hour by hour, and I can say 24 hours because during the night I woke up after an hour, and I needed help to walk where I needed to go. But another opportunity, nothing spectacular, but our loving God, He knows our situation, we're an open vessel, He does nothing spectacular, but He just imparts a little more into you. Three, a life of ordinary days in the divine dispensing is according to the miraculous normality of the divine economy. So the things are normal because they're not outwardly spectacular, but they're miraculous. For instance, do you realize you have the same life that God has?
Amen.
God is your Father. Do you realize that Christ is in you? You're one spirit with Him? I mean, this is marvelous. This is miraculous. But it takes place in such a normal way. When I got saved a little before 16, I stood up to give a testimony of believing. And that's when the Lord came into me. No thunder, no lightning. I hardly knew what happened. And then I realized some weeks later, there's another person in me. And when I was 16, in that month of October, in ancient times, 1955, I was trying to pray before going to bed. I was kneeling down. And the Lord inwardly, quietly said, Ron, I want you to be a minister. And I said, I can't. End of conversation. Next night, Ron, I want you to be a minister. I didn't know. I can't. Then, after 2 weeks, I had to give a message, believe it or not, on a Thursday morning meeting in this denomination. And everyone realized something happened here. So that night, the same thing. I'm praying. He said, Ron, I want you to be a minister. And I couldn't honestly say I can't, so I said, I won't. I told you I'm a tough case. Then went on to the end of the month, just a gentle, quiet speaking, Ron, I want you to be a minister. Then October 31st, okay, I will be what you want. But I didn't know what that was. I had to go through high school, university, seminary, and then empty out the whole thing from religious Christianity and come into the Lord's recovery and then find out what ministry really is. But it was all ordinary, calm, quiet. But one thing about God is He is determined. He does not leave anything unfinished. And so He will continue with you. Because, my dear brother, He's putting something in your heart. You sense this already. And that your life is going to adequate for the ministry at the end of this age. We need another generation of brothers supported by their wives that are willing to pay the price to carry out the ministry. And the price is revelation plus suffering equals ministry. I woke up during the night and this verse just came up in me. I didn't know why, but it just came up. And I wondered, should I mention it? And I said, well, maybe that would be kind of troubling. But anyway, now I have the feeling to do it. This verse in 2 Corinthians 5:12. And I would want to say it as an encouragement to you. Paul said, death operates in me, but life in you. So don't have any fear. This is ministry, not just a gift. We don't need just really brilliant, eloquent brothers. We need brothers willing to be fully filled with the triune God and to be a member of the body functioning for the building up of the body. And you will get the baton in the race. We need this. We're going to pray for this. We're going to not only minister life to this, but we are ready even now to wash your feet. Just to wash your feet, that you would be renewed and fresh, to allow the Lord to do this miraculous normality work in you. The experience of Christ, of the Spirit, of the Triune God, and of the divine life with the divine nature are altogether normal. All the spiritual and divine things provided by God for our experience and enjoyment are normal. Nevertheless, these normal things are miraculous. And for this reason, we may speak of the miraculous normality of the divine economy. Regeneration is the greatest miracle, yet it takes place in a normal way. Thus, regeneration is a normality that is miraculous, a miraculous normality in our Christian life. Calling on the name of the Lord is a normality, yet it is miraculous that when we call, we receive the totality of the process and consummated triune God. And now, this final part, in about 10 minutes, and this will give you more than 30 minutes, plus announcements, the end of meeting. And this is to show the connection between the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, experienced and lived out by an open vessel in their ordinary living. This, especially in the present age, the present end of this age, is a very crucial matter. And I want to read a verse from James chapter 3, verse 7, to help us all realize the kind of speaking that is coming forth now and will continue until the end of the age. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord Jehovah will not do anything unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. In December, we will finish the crystallization study of the Bible. Started from 1994, Brother Lee wanted it developed and committed until the end. And how the Lord will lead us in the coming time, we don't know yet. But this verse is precious. The Lord is going to do certain things. He's going to take certain actions. Even in the world situation, he needs to take certain actions. Why? Because of this. We know from Daniel chapter 9, there's a prophecy concerning what the Bible calls 70 weeks. But the word week refers to 7 years. And the first 69 weeks have been already taken place at the time of the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection. Now we are in a gap in the age of grace, the age of faith, the age of the church. We are nearing the end of this gap. And two things need to be taking place. One is, of course, the bride who has made herself ready in her maturity. That is the first characteristic. She's a mature. You don't go to a wedding meeting with a man, 27, married to a little girl. That is absolutely impossible, illegal. She has to match him. But the world situation is this. The 70th week, which will be the last 7 years in two parts. And that will begin when the governmental leader in Israel makes a covenant with a powerful leader in Europe. Why? Because something has happened to clear the Temple Mount. And the Orthodox Jews are just eager and ready to rebuild the temple. And that could spark a war with the Arabic-speaking countries. But when Israel makes a covenant with this powerful leader who may be alive and who may eventually become the Antichrist over the recovered Roman numeral empire, we need to be watchful over the world situation and pray, because it's very important. Maybe one morning you'll wake up and you find out a rocket fired from this country went off course, blew up this building on the Temple Mount. Hundreds of Orthodox Jews are there saying, build the temple. Others are saying, go to war. And then at the same time, the Lord has rearranged the situation in Europe to fulfill Daniel chapter 2, the 10 toes, is going to happen. And when that covenant is made, the 70th week starts. And all the living saints who will be overcomers will live through those 3.5 years. And just before the Great Tribulation, They will be raptured according to Revelation 14. Now, I mention all this because what kind of person will be rapture ready at the foreseeable future? And for this, we need the Lord's word from Matthew 24. And I won't read verses 36 through 40, but he says here, the days of Noah were like such and such, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And the main characteristic of the days of Noah was violence. Violence. Just consider what has happened in this country in the last 2 years. And according to the Lord's word, it will not decrease. And we all have to be living through this kind of world situation. But this is what the Lord said, and this is the burden. And I'm reading verses 41, 42, and 43. At that time, two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord comes. These are words to believers. There's no unbeliever the Lord would say, watch or wait for the Lord. So the two men are two brothers, the two women are two sisters. What were they doing? They were living an ordinary life. And the Lord Himself identified the aspect of that ordinary life was working. You are working. This is required by the sovereign God from the time of the fall of man. You have to work for your living. Even if you're older and have retired, yet there's still a different kind of work you need to do just in your family life or whatever it is. And so these two brothers and two sisters are living an ordinary day. But why is one of the brothers taken? And the word taken refers to rapture before the great tribulation. The rapture mentioned in Revelation 14. And there you have two sisters grinding at the mill. One is taken and the other is left. Why? The Lord doesn't go like you're pulling, you know, from a plant, you know, I will not, I will not. No, He's not arbitrary. So both of the two brothers, the two sisters, they are doing something very ordinary and necessary for proper daily living. But one brother was left. The other was raptured. One sister was left. The other was raptured. Why were they raptured? It's because they were living simultaneously in two realms. Because, number one, their soul and spirit had been divided. So when they're using their soul in their work, their spirit is free to have continual contact with the Lord and receiving the divine dispensing. And the same with the one sister. And so the brother who is raptured, the sister who will be raptured, they're living this way, an ordinary life. And the divine dispensing has been taking place in their ordinary daily life for a long time. And now they realize they're human beings, they have responsibilities, they have children, they have grandchildren. They have so many things they need to do And they do, if you are a genuine God-man person. But while they're doing it, inwardly, they're receiving divine dispensing quietly and calmly. And we do not know, it's not revealed in the Word, how the Lord will indicate that it's rapture. But he uses pictures like, you will see the morning star. So I personally believe there will be some inner realization, again, quiet and calm, maybe he would say, now. And you immediately respond. And what Luke was telling us in chapter 17, you have separated yourself from anything that would hold you back. You're not like Lot's wife. Oh, I want to look back. Oh, my puppy. Oh, my new Mercedes. Oh, my favorite tie. Oh, this book I was reading, you know, the Brothers Karamazov. Oh, just that instant holds you back. Because one of the things the Lord was doing as he's working in you is separating you even from things that you need, but you're not held by them. You just got a new car, you're not saying, oh no, okay, you realize you'll be traveling on a cloud when you come back with the Lord. Forget about the thing. And the keys are on your desk, leave them for someone else. But I don't want to, as I'm bringing this to an end, I don't want to say this lightly. This is actually going to happen. And I'll just tell you what my personal belief is. Yes, I have a hope. My wife and I have a hope in our prayer that the Lord may, it may be God's will just to keep me until the end. But he may not. May his will be done, whatever it is, for the body. But I believe that hundreds in this room will be living through the first 3.5 years of the 70th week. And if you are, between now and that time, learning to live an ordinary day outwardly, but inwardly you're living under the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, but you're living under that dispensing in a complete way. It's not just contacting the Lord, he comes into your spirit, that's it. It's been settled. Your whole being is open to him. And you're willing for him to do anything, to give you anything. He's the Lord. You would hold nothing back from him. And so here you are, this open vessel, living an ordinary life under the divine dispensing. This is the kind of person who will be rapture ready at the end of this age. And I say again, sincerely, out of love for you, I want every one of you to be raptured ready at that crucial time. But the way is based upon all that was wonderfully presented in messages 1-5. Now, kind of like a little topstone on this, to work this out, you need to be an open vessel and are satisfied with an ordinary life, same things again and again. But while you're living that kind of life, you're in continual contact with the dispensing of the triune God. And so, maybe it'll be on a Thursday afternoon at 21. You're at a red arrow like I was. You are finishing your job, you're tired, whatever it is. But inwardly, you're in contact with the Lord. And looking for that time when we all move together this way and see the Lord face to face. Beloved Lord Jesus, please grant us the mercy and the grace to be an open vessel for the rest of our days. Lord, no matter what our situation is, what our human needs may be, what our circumstances are, Lord, enable us simply to be fully open. And Lord, even now as we're praying, we are just deciding and telling you, Lord, we open to you from the depths of our being. We hold nothing back from you. Lord, you know what to do. You know where we are. You know what we am. We just believe you. We love you. We trust you. Lord, day by day, do whatever you will. In us, with us, through us, for us, and around us. Because we are yours. And we want to grow to maturity now, so that marvelous word will be fulfilled. The bride has made herself ready. Lord, this is what's in our heart. This is what's in your heart. So we say again sincerely, with one spirit and one voice, come, Lord Jesus. Come for your bride. Amen.